Welcome to another edition of The Brand Called You. Today I have a global business show host, Divya Shlokam.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Divya, in addition to being a global business show host, is the CEO of the award-winning content media branding and ad agency. She's also a coach and a consultant.
Thank you.
So Divya, tell me a little bit about your early career.
Okay, Ashutosh, I started my job at the age of 18 because my siblings didn't let me do BSc.
Okay.
I wanted to do it, but then my elder sisters told me that we have wasted almost 3 years of a regular education and we don't find it useful.
Okay.
Initial days, I was really reluctant to accept this idea, but as soon as I got into a job, some of my friends were already pursuing IIT, and then after a couple of years, they came and told me that good you took this decision because then you'll be way ahead in the career, you know, and you'll have much more experience than us. So then I realized, and then when I started doing my job, I was lucky enough to get mentors. So one of my colleagues, she was about 12 years elder to me, and she sent me for pursuing some language courses.
Okay.
So then again, I mean, I was too young to understand the importance of this. But as I kept doing, you know, Japanese and French languages, I got a, you know, taste of continuing education. And then later on, after a few years, I ended up doing 4 postgraduate degrees.
Wow. Wow.
And a couple of certifications that further helped me excel in my own career.
Wonderful.
So that was a great thing to do.
So yeah. Tell me, you know, when you say that you're a global business show host, what exactly is your role and what do you do?
Okay, so this is a show called Value Addition Global Show. I've seen that lot of entrepreneurs, lot of CEOs, lot of CXOs and vice presidents across the globe have great insights to share out of their valuable work that they have. However, when we say think local, think global and act local, we are somehow not able to think global. Why? Because in order to think global, you have to be connected to global people. You have to take their insights and understand what globally actually is going on.
Correct.
So in order to do that, I realized that let me start this Value Addition Global Show and let me take on the role of a host, which I somehow maybe wanted since my childhood. You know, I used to watch all these big Oprah Winfrey and these guys, and I wanted to do something for the corporate world. So I believe role of a global show host is to bridge the gap in the industry through global leaders.
Correct.
So more often, you know, we see that CNBC, CNN, all these big channels are inviting big leaders. So I thought, okay, let me take on this responsibility. This is my role to bridge the gap between the global thinking that and the local acting, that all these people can get inputs from the global leaders. So that's how I started doing
Very
this.
Interesting. Very interesting. And how many such shows would you have done so far?
Yeah, 100 episodes I've done.
Wow.
Recently, I have cut down to those episodes. These used to be 10-15 minutes long.
Okay.
You know, 10-15 minutes longer. Now I've made it 1 minute duration.
Okay.
Because in 1 minute, you can capture TikTok, you can capture LinkedIn, Instagram, and these videos can be easily digested. You know, these are so irresistible. Anybody seeking, okay, 1 minute video episodes, mini episode, they'll end up clicking. So
Understood.
That's how, you know, communities will get more knowledge in
good.
Shorter time.
Very good.
Yeah.
So Divya, you also you know, you help people in personal branding. And thought leadership. So tell me, what is personal branding?
Okay, so personal branding has got obviously different definitions by different industry leaders. For me, branding, let's consider it as a, you know, from Wikipedia's definition, brand for a layman is equal to identity. So when we identify ourselves in the group of leaders, let's say I am an HR leader, how do I distinguish myself? What is my identity among all those HR leaders that people are able to get attracted towards my maybe physical, mental and spiritual dimensions, or maybe my gross identity and my subtle identity? So gross is how I behave, how I react, and subtle is how do I present my thoughts, my opinion, my perspective, my vision to the world. So when you do it in such a way, when you establish your identity in such a way that people get attracted to you, they are able to distinguish you among those leaders, then you are a personal brand. Okay. Like recently, I was reading through Economic Times, and then a couple of months back, it was mentioned that India has got 5 lakh BSC registered companies and about 1,20,000 CEOs. So if a CEO has to establish a personal brand out of 1,20,000, how do I recognize that CEO? Correct. So that has to be done through some gross and subtle aspects. So that's personal branding.
And for an individual, how important is a personal brand?
Oh my God. I mean, today's scenario, as you know, you have written books. So you can so well relate. If you, me, anybody is not a personal brand, it's very difficult to establish one's thought leadership in the industry. It's difficult to excel in career. It's difficult to excel even in business. So that's what.
Okay. Yeah. But then, you know, a personal brand can also become very vulnerable.
Absolutely, it does.
So
it does.
Anything that you make a mistake with will affect you.
Absolutely. You see, Ashutosh, I've always believed that character is one thing that you can make.
Yeah.
Reputation is made by the external people. But brand is in between. That you create your identity in such a way before others create about you, and then you manage your brand.
Okay.
Obviously, we are all human beings and we do commit mistakes, but brand can be managed. So it's better to create a brand with a thorough understanding that this is going to be my brand, this is what I stand for, and then you manage it. Yeah.
So tell me again, you know, you work with so many people on personal brand. The professionals who work for large brands, isn't there a conflict between their company's brand and their personal brand?
Yeah, especially in India, I have noticed there is. But of late, organizations are also rising to this, you know, this clarity that personal brand is much more powerful than organizational brand. For example, Elon Musk has more followers than Tesla. For example, Anand Mahindra, he has more followers on Twitter than Mahindra Rise or Mahindra Group per se. For example, Kiran Mazumdar Shah has more followers than her own organization. Sure. Similarly, Nathan SV on LinkedIn has great number of followers, though Deloitte has bigger followers. But then personal brands are important, and companies should and must leverage personal brands of the leaders. If they avoid conflicts and if they create that synergy, they'll be able to leverage it.
Very interesting. Very well said. I must say, very well said. Yeah. So when I was reading about you, you also had a quote which says, leaders are wired differently.
Oh, yeah.
Please explain your perspective.
Okay. So when I say leaders are wired differently, I haven't read about all the leaders in the globe, but anyone who is considered to be a leader, you see that he or she has learned himself first. They have grown and they have evolved, and then they have helped the entire world or maybe a set of people. So I say that leaders are wired differently in the sense that they are focused first on their own learning, their own growth, their own evolution. Once they have done that, once that has sinked in, then they go out. But unfortunately, we also get to see people that they have a lot of impatience that, okay, I am here for the world, I'm here. But then I personally feel that we have to first learn ourselves.
Correct.
Only then I can, or maybe we can help others.
Very true. Very well said. So my next question to you would be that, you know, you help people build their social media profile, you know. For the thousands of people who watch us and listen to us, what would be some of your specific points to help them build their social media profile?
Wow, that's a fabulous point. I think it is a point of importance in today's content age. You see, social media profiles is one thing. Your presence on social media is another. You may have a fabulous, wonderful, you know, a perfect profile on social media, but if you're not active on it, then maybe you will not be able to build your brand or establish your thought leadership. But in order to have a good social media profile, first you need to decide which social media is more viable for you. For example, for me, I have figured out LinkedIn is more viable.
Correct.
But for Anand Mahindra, you know, maybe Twitter is more viable.
Correct.
Maybe for Kiran Mazumdar Shah, Twitter is more viable. For some people, Facebook may be more viable. And some new leaders, TikTok may even be more viable. So in order to find out which social media is viable for you, you first need to decide that, are you in sync with that social media?
Okay.
Do you want to spend more time on that social media? do you get your target audience on that social media? Are you able to express the right way on that social media? So this is how you will be able to figure out. Mm-hmm. Do you get a good response on that social media when you post? So once you have done that, mm-hmm. once you have figured out, now think of what are some of the common ways of establishing the right kind of social media profile.
Okay.
For example, each platform tells you that you have to fill up these columns. Mm-hmm. If your columns are not filled up, you'll get 4-star, maybe 3-star mm-hmm. rating. So ensure that you get 5 out of 5. That means at least your profile photo, your banner image, everything is well mm-hmm. defined. Your headline is so catchy, it creates a hook for anyone who comes and, you know, reads your profile, and then you have given authentic, genuine details about that. That's a good social media profile.
That's very interesting. So, you know, again, moving on, and you said LinkedIn mm-hmm. works for you.
Yeah.
You also help people mm-hmm. to get a makeover in their LinkedIn profile. Talk to me a little bit about it. What are the specific things that people should do to improve their LinkedIn profile?
Okay, so I'll link LinkedIn profile with your personal branding per se.
Correct.
You know, everybody who is looking forward to LinkedIn profile makeover will have some agenda. For example, some will have agenda to get career prospects better up. Some will have agenda to create a, you know, lead generation kind of a profile that they get good business. Some will have agenda that they establish themselves as a thought leader in the industry and create a personal brand through their, you know, LinkedIn profile. So when you do that, you have to be very clear what is the purpose of your LinkedIn profile makeover. Is it to get immediate right kind of next level opportunity, or is it that you just want to build a personal brand around, or is it that you want to get speaking opportunities, or you want to apply for some winning some awards? So based upon your requirements, your profile has to be made over. Now, in order to do that, first and foremost thing I always tell clients is they must look at the setting. Somehow, subconsciously, you are letting your personal branding get leaked out to other leaders. Mm-hmm. For example, one of the settings in LinkedIn says who also viewed. You know, on the right hand side, when mm-hmm. you have your LinkedIn profile, it is shown that a couple of other people's profile are also mm-hmm. shown. The moment that setting is on, you tend to lose your attention of the audience to your profile.
Okay.
They tend to get digressed to other profiles. Mm-hmm. So that should be set to no. That's set to yes by default on LinkedIn. So that is one of the most important things one must be taking care of. Second most important thing is banner. Mm-hmm. I see 95% and more people have left their banner incomplete, mm-hmm. empty. Mm-hmm. Now that's the first thing. Within 3 seconds, you get to have a personal branding impact of that profile. Let's say I visit your profile and I see that on Ashutosh banner there is a, you know, maybe Ashutosh branding statement or his favorite quote mentioned, or maybe he's giving some awards, or maybe something related to his achievements, awards, accolades has been mentioned. This creates a spontaneous brand in my mind, an image about Ashutosh. But if that is left empty, that means you have lost the first opportunity there and then only. And LinkedIn is giving you absolutely free. Do you know LinkedIn is more powerful than any business channel today, any business newspaper today? So that way, when you see that, okay, these are the settings and these are the things I should be caring about, then you will immediately get hooked to it. No, this must be given priority, that I need to focus on making over my, you know, profile. Now, next important thing is your headline. If it is not able to create a hook, then maybe people may not like to read ahead. Mm-hmm. Then is obviously about. And the most ignoring aspect of LinkedIn I've seen is people ignore giving recommendations and taking recommendations. Mm-hmm. Well, you may be an established leader, but anybody who's visiting your profile may not necessarily know you so deeply mm-hmm. well, you know. So in order to do that, it's always great to have a large number of recommendations. You can have as many as 250 recommendations on your LinkedIn profile, and this must be utilized. You know, you're doing good work and people must appreciate you for they have been, but it's just that they you haven't shown them here. So I suggest that you take recommendations from your junior colleagues, your colleagues, your seniors, your vendors, your customers, even your ex-friends, you know, I mean, anybody who can give you recommendation has known you for some time and you have added value to their life. You must be giving recommendation. I mean, they must be giving recommendation to you. Same is the case with your giving recommendations to other. Mm. When you give recommendations to other, people get to know your brand, mm. that you are a giving authority.
Okay.
You know, you're so good that you do appreciate other people as well.
Mm.
So it must be balanced. So these are a couple of things I thought I must tell you, and then awards and accolades and everything should
be shown. Since I'm chatting with you, I'm going to request you do an audit on my profile.
I'll be doing that. I'll be happy to do that, honestly.
So one more question before I move to the next segment. You know, you mentioned that each person should decide which is their favorite platform.
Absolutely.
How do I, when I say I means the listener, who is on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, you know, and whatever other smaller ones there are, how do I determine what is best for me?
Absolutely. So that's a great question, Ashutosh, because we usually have a tendency to put all our eggs in one basket.
Correct.
And then supposedly something goes wrong with some social media platform, then we end up losing all the stuff that we had created for several years.
Mm.
So I strongly suggest for professional community, Quora is picking up like anything.
Correct.
And Quora is no less than LinkedIn. Let's say if you are into coaching, consultancy, or you plan to be mentoring sometime, or you plan to establish your thought leadership, look forward to some speaking opportunities, you know, showcase yourself on podcast or establish your global authority, then Quora is a must.
Okay.
Quora is so favorite of Americans and Indians, and Quora has got 300 million active users,
wow.
whereas LinkedIn has got just 330 active million users, you know.
Mm.
So that is just a little bit of difference between Quora and LinkedIn. Of course, LinkedIn does a lot of other things. So this is one thing that you have to decide, what's your priority.
Okay.
If your priority is to just share your thoughts, then I believe Twitter would be a great thing to do. You do not have much time. You just have to write one or two liners and good to go.
Correct.
But if your priority is to establish your credibility and visibility in the marketplace, in professional community, whether you're a business or you are a professional, then you must go ahead with the LinkedIn.
Amazing.
If you are a B2B or B2C organization, then you must think of Quora by any means. Quora is so undervalued as of now. In the times to come, you will realize the importance of it. Then if you are like B2C mostly and you have shops and then you have boutiques and small businesses, then Facebook is all-time favorite.
Or Instagram.
Absolutely. Instagram is all-time favorite. And if you are planning to establish your leadership by means of video showcasing, then TikTok is the clear winner. A lot of organizations like Coca-Cola and all these B2B organizations have come to lure the customers on TikTok as well. And then lastly, YouTube is all-time favorite, and each one of us must be on YouTube somehow, somewhere. By any means, we should be showcasing ourselves, our you know, customer stories, our brand stories, our product stories, services stories. Stories are the only things that sell, you know, without exception. Stories do sell.
Very well.
So whichever platform you choose, I've just given you some tips. I mean, you will have to undergo a diagnosis, actually, which one is a more viable platform. But whatever, please do use stories to share on these platforms, and you should have two platforms to always buy your support.
Right. So wonderful. So let me move on. You know, a few questions for you or personally also. You know, you mentioned that you know, when you started, you hadn't finished your undergrad, and then you did four masters after that. In life, have you had people who had an influence on you? And if yes, what have you learned from them?
Wow, interesting question, because, you know, I keep on thinking about this quite often, Ashutosh, because we can't simply ignore or forget those who have actually helped us climb that ladder of success in our life.
Correct.
And there have been many. And most of them have been my ex-bosses or colleagues. Like I told you about that lady colleague, you know, she pushed me to pursue that education of, you know, in the evenings I used to go. Similarly, my ex-boss, Mr. Ashok Puri, who oriented me into the consultancy field. So I was working with Kaizen Institute. It's a multinational consulting firm, and that's where I learned all the concepts of lean manufacturing, Kaizen, and 5S TPM, typical manufacturing stuff. And then he taught me how to get into your own business. So I used to keenly observe him. And similarly, all my ex-bosses have been great, and I was lucky enough to get great colleagues, bosses. I have never faced any problem with my colleagues, and perhaps my sailing has been smooth. Okay. So maybe, everybody whoever has come into my professional life has ultimately helped me grow. So I don't remember any struggle story of my professional life or maybe a specific mentor. Most of them have been mentors, whether my juniors or seniors. Wonderful. They've all helped me. So that's what.
So one question for you now on gender balance.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Even though women are half our society,
47%.
47%. We still are only now beginning to recognize that there has to be balance.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. Women, to me, have always been the most ethical people at the workplace.
Wow.
I've always said that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, they have a very difficult role of bringing up the house and bringing the children up and all that.
So. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on improving gender balance in our country?
That's pretty tough question, frankly. A lot of organizations and NGOs have been working towards it. Corporate sector itself has taken a lot of initiative.
Correct.
I personally feel that it's the responsibility of women as well.
Okay.
So, if I am asked personally, I would like to say that women has to take the charge. And they have to put in, even if they have to put in more efforts, they need to continue doing this. Rather than waiting for companies to take initiatives about us or for organizations or government to take initiatives, we must put in our own efforts. Because by the end of the day, when I leave the world, I should ensure that I'm leaving the world with a satisfaction that, okay, organizations or government was there to support, but what did I actually do?
Correct.
So that's the initiative women have to take. Okay. I strongly feel that they have to keep striving.
Their role
is difficult, but then they have to strive more.
That's a very good perspective. So my next question would be, after so much success, and you're right on top of the technological world as well, what would be three words that describe Divya?
Difficult, because a lot of words, we have our own self-assessment, no?
Correct.
And then branding is like reputation, people define us also. So I think so far my success has been hand-holding support.
Okay.
So whoever has been my client or whether my colleagues, I've tried to hand-hold them in the process of their evolution or growth. Second is, I always think of win-win. I don't remember if I have thought of any time, maybe in my initial career I must have done. So I've realized, until you think win-win, you're not going to win.
Okay.
Right? So if I'm winning, I can't let other person lose. So this is second word which defines me.
Correct.
Third would be, I think of late I've become laborious, hardworking. So maybe you can define me as a hardworking professional.
Very well said. So Divya, I want to ask you a question about failure. You know, there is generally a view in most of Indian parents, for example, we don't teach our children that it's okay to fail.
Absolutely.
Right? Yet all of us fail.
Do.
What is your learning, or so what have been some of your learnings from some of your mistakes or some of your failures?
Okay, so maybe after you have lived through your life and you come in the mid-age, I believe, Ashutosh, most of us start feeling whether those failures were really the failures or not, whether those were really the opportunities. So, first of all, you have touched upon a very sensitive point about the kids. I strongly feel we must all teach our children since the time they are about a year old, and we must tell them the stories of failure, that this is how that king failed and then he got the opportunity out of that failure. So failures must always be treated as opportunity. And if you get to see any failure, whether you, me, anybody has ever had, we have evolved from them. So opportunities are the events that are presented to us, or we look at those events from an evolution or growth point of view. So for me, I think now failures are opportunities.
Okay. Well,
so anytime I fail, I bear it in my mind that let me see what opportunity lies in this. Of course, we all do fail. We learn and we evolve. I clearly do not remember a triggering failure that led me to learn something, because whenever I had failed, of course, in life, there have been times of depression also after failure, and we tend to blame God or self, why did it happen to us? And we all go through the same patterns, and then we evolve. Like I said, leaders evolve themselves first. So I'm still in that journey of evolution. Okay. So I believe that now I've started treating all the failures as opportunities. That's my biggest learning out of these failures. Okay. Wonderful. That okay, whenever failure is going to happen, opportunities are going to come. Okay. So that's all.
So my last question.
Sure.
There'll be lots of young girls watching this program.
Mm-hmm.
What would your advice be to an 18, 19, 20 year girl who's looking at a career 30 years ahead?
Wow, interesting question for me. All those young girls, in fact, I would be glad to take career advice from them, because they are sharp enough.
Okay.
They are brighter enough than our generation as of now. Okay. However, they need some support. So in order to generate that support, I strongly feel that patience is one thing that today's generation, if they can learn, they'll do much better than they are already doing. And 30 years ahead is way too far for me. I mean, at least if it is 5-10 years ahead, then opportunities are the thing they must avail. They will falter, they will fall down, they will, there will be stumbling blocks. They will learn and keep learning, keep evolving. And I don't think so they should stop, working hard. I personally feel many people in guise of smart work have left their hard work. Be it girls, boys, anybody, be it human.
I agree.
So keep working hard, keep evolving, and you know better than us. Just patience is needed.
Wonderful.
So that's what.
Divya, thank you very much.
Thank you so much,
Ashish. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. And I must say, I've learned so much about social media today from you.
Thank you. Right. I would like to ask you one last question. Is how did this idea of self-expression come to you? Because it is not, not common.
Well, I just wanted to tell stories of such incredible human beings all around me.
Wow.
That's how it started.
That's great. Salute to you. And I would like to feature you on my future shows as well.
Thank
you so much, Ashutosh.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.